We're just going to ramble through here.
We just need to back over this point about Johnny, though. Okay. We weren't here when he was given the honour of being the call of the week, which meant that he's gone into a chance to win the Hilux, Hilux.
Okay? That's right. So if he wins the Rugged Hilux...
We have nothing to do with it.
Good on him.
Yeah, he's great.
It's a 43-1 pop.
That's right.
So good luck.
That's right. And I hope everybody is there this morning. I hope everybody that actually...
They'll be there. Wes.
..were callers of the year are there, because old mate that won it last year, I can't remember his name...
He was fishing.
He was out fishing, yeah. So his wife was there on his behalf.
She was excited, though.
But it would have been better to have spoken to him at the time.
We rang him out in the middle of the bay.
Yeah, I know, but it wasn't the same. It wasn't the same. Right. So anyway, we have nothing to do with whoever
people get pulled out of that.
No, we just need
someone
to make sure.
If Johnny wins, is going to be a massive
inquiry. I actually
inquiry.
Am barking for Johnny not to win it now for that reason.
The observations while we've been away.
Okay, what do you got?
The NAB draft is a major event on the sporting calendar, the NAB AFL draft. It is when the best young talent comes through. It is when we celebrate, you know, the emergence of... The AFL is a super, super professional outfit. We've got to do better than having it at a pub.
Yeah.
I mean, albeit a lovely pub, I used to have that pub, the London Tavern in Richmond. But honestly, I've tuned in... And I thought, right, yeah, this is exciting. Mm. And there they are walking into a pub and sitting at a trestle table in a beer garden at a pub. That's not becoming of an AFL draft. That's not AFL draft worthy, Tim. Having families just sitting in the back of a pub.
Was it because of a COVID type situation?
Why would not, if you had a very...
Right. What would you like to see? Because, you don't want to sort of like the razzmatazz of the American system.
But you want a bit more razzmatazz than sitting in the beer garden on the trestle table.
Did you think it was just a bit too relaxed and too casual?
Absolutely I did.
And what about the way the players presented themselves?
Players were fantastic.
Were you happy about that?
Yeah, they were a great bunch of young kids. Very, very confident.
Yep.
That's the way the new kids are. And they all, they speak well, they've been trained, they know what to say. I reckon someone got to Josh Rischelli and said, don't start telling anyone you're going to do a backflip and you're going to do this. So his first question, he said, I've been told not to say. They go, oh, you've been liking the Toby Green. He goes, oh, I've been told not to say I'm like Toby Green.
And the confidence of this proper kid?
Right up there.
Where you expect them to be? Or a bit beyond that?
A bit beyond, but that's good.
Gee, you've toned that down a bit since the meeting we had pre-show this morning.
But come on. Better than the pub. There they are, just rocking up on the corner of Lennox Street.
Is there a sponsorship deal in there somewhere?
Why? It's an AFL function. Do you think that have AFL got a sponsorship with the London Tavern?
Was this the actual draft itself, or was this the night before the draft you're talking about?
This is where all the kids and their mums and dads were sitting at the back of the beer garden, waiting to find out where the kid goes.
Can I throw
That's just an observation.
That's a good observation. Can I throw something at you related to cricket? Right. Now I want you to either confirm this or deny that it is true still. And that is that being captain of the Australian cricket team is still the second most important job in this country. I say bollocks to them.
Yeah, I do.
I say it probably might have been once, but it's nowhere near the most or second most important job in this country anymore.
Which leads me, which is a very nice observation, to can I further extrapolate on that?
Yeah.
It may have been the second most important when we actually had some bloody cricket to watch.
It's coming. It's next week.
Tim, it's the third day of December.
I know that.
Football's been finished for the best part of 2 months.
Summer only started 2 days ago, though, 3 days ago.
We're nearly at Christmas.
It's a summer of cricket.
We're nearly at Christmas and I haven't seen one ball bowled of either form of the international game.
No, I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that.
It's a disgrace we've got no cricket on our televisions up. It's still the 3rd of December.
That's right. And summer has only just begun, right? So it's going to go right through. But also there is major concerns about Brisbane at the moment too, because they've been inundated with heavy rainfall up there.
We'll speak to Beefy about that in a moment. Both sides haven't been able to get outside and practice outdoors. I read an article where the curator said they may have to put a tent over it. over the pitch. So they can continue to prepare it.
Well, that would be a reasonable thing to do. So it's going to hoop all over the place when they do get there, isn't it?
Get a hoop.
It's going to hoop all over.
Get a hoop.
What about Justin Langer? He flew down to have chat to Tim Payne.
Loved all that.
Did you like all that?
Yeah, I did. That's when you need your mates. When you're in a big hole like that, and so to see the coach and the captain have a great close relationship. They've been through a lot together, and that's exactly what you want.
We've interviewed Tim Payne a couple of times, and we hear a lot of good things about him in terms of the leadership and his mateship and all that sort of stuff, the empathy that he has for his teammates and all the other people he plays cricket with. That's come through loud and clear, hasn't it, through the last two or 3 weeks?
And
the feelings that the players have towards him.
Yeah, unbelievably supportive. And, it was a stunning, stunning storyline when that came out, wasn't it?
Incredible. Yeah. Were you surprised in the end that he did what he did? Because it seemed the mood... The stepping down, we understood, right?
No. But then from cricket.
When he went away completely from the game, because the narrative was building towards, well, he's not going to be captain, but he's going to be the keeper.
Yeah.
And then the next part of all that is, no, I can't do it. Yeah. I need to step away from the game.
Yeah, I think what became apparent was that there was court action coming. So... Yeah, I think when Tim did his interview in the paper with Bonnie's wife, with Hamish, that they were aware that this day was coming.
Mm.
They fronted up. They dealt with it in their own past, which ultimately still for me is the most important thing.
Yeah.
And then they thought, well, this will be the end of it, as tough as it's going to be. We'll get through this and then I'll go back and keep for Australia. But then it became apparent that there was going to be a legal case which is going to drag on and... So, yeah.
Do you think they also maybe that they underestimated, the echo chamber? You know, those stories, they go into what you call the echo chamber, right? So you think they thought through their management, okay, this is what we'll do. We'll sit down with Hamish McLaughlin. We'll do a tell-all type interview. We'll put everything out there, okay? We'll just put everything out there that we need to talk about. We'll come clean about everything and that will be the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then still 2 weeks later... it's still appearing almost like as a new story each and every day as a new component of this story became apparent.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think it would have, after a week and a half, it would have got to the stage where, okay, it's been dealt with publicly now as well, but it got life of its own again when the court case came.
Yeah.
When the legal...
Well, that added to it in the end.
Well, but then there's no end to it because then the court case, then it's going to go to court on this date.
Mm.
So then it's not going away.
Okay, what about Warnie? Warnie's been incredibly strong and forthright about his belief that there is no place for Steve Smith in a leadership role in the Australian cricket team.
Yeah.
Do you support what he's saying? Or?
No, I don't. But what he's saying, the adjunct to that is, how can Steve Smith come back in when you've got Dave Warner, who's been ostracised and told that he'll never take... leadership role in Australian cricket ever again.
Yeah, but he never was he?
But this is Warnie's point. So Warnie's point is that David Warnie, in his mind, is the best cricket brain in the team. So he's saying when the...
Really?
So when the call's out for a leader, why isn't this bloke being... His bloke's been no consideration because of what's gone before him, but this bloke, who was the captain at the time, has been elevated back to the vice captaincy. So that's what... he's saying there's an hypocrisy there.
And what about the Mitch Stark thing? He's never been a fan of Mitch Stark.
Well, no.
He said that his bowling over the last couple of years isn't at the level that it should be. He's not swinging the ball like he did. He's lost pace. Yeah. He's not the bowler that he once was.
Yeah. So he said about 2 years ago he gave him a nice cook and said he didn't fire up enough. Yeah. And then he responded really well. So he's had him in the gun for a while. And Jai Richardson bowled really well. So let's take this call from Desi, who's up in Brisbane, before we take a break and we speak to Lord Ian Botham about the upcoming Ashes series. Okay, Des, what's the conditions like up there in Brisbane?
Mate, it is blue sky today, blue sky. So I live at the Gabba. I wandered through there yesterday on the way home. The pitch is looking really good. So that game's going to go ahead, so I'm looking forward to day one.
Yeah, no, we're pretty sure it'll go ahead. We're just wondering whether you're going to have enough good weather to be able to prepare the deck. So I think last I read was you're going to get a pretty good run of 3 or 4 days of sun, so it shouldn't be a problem, yeah?
No, that's right. I think we're still going to get a few showers, and hopefully we have enough sunlight to get the game finished.
Good on you, Desi. Thanks for giving us an update. There's our man live on the ground. And the other reason we're excited to be back in the studio after a two-week hiatus is we've got the opportunity to speak to one of the greatest cricketers that ever played the game. And if we ever were going to adopt an Englishman as an Australian, this would be the man. I don't know if he'd be too impressed or happy about that, but Ian Botham, every time you turned the TV on, he was involved in a game of cricket, Tim. You just sat back and enjoyed the ride. And more often than not, he'd get the better of the Aussies. He played in four Ashes series. He's won two and lost two. He's out to commentate what will be a very, very interesting series, I think. And I think he thinks they're a better hope than maybe we give them right now. And he's been good enough to take our call. Lord Botham, welcome.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
Well, we're going really well. Excited about the opportunity to speak to you. Do we call you Lord? Do we call you Beefy? What can we call you?
Beefy sits quite nicely.
No, it's great to have you in the country. You're... expectations of this English team, you're always bullish about them. I love the fact that you love sticking it to the Aussies and you're very, very confident about their abilities. But how do you see this group?
Look, we could end up with a couple of games played under lights, which would, I think, be the England boys would be quite happy with that. Look, I think the bookies always lose the plot a little bit when we arrive and Australia go racing ahead in the prices, etc. But I think it'll be a lot tighter than the bookies think. So most Ashes series are. I mean, you get the odd thrashing, like we did in 89 and 07. And you get that. But to be honest with you, more often than not, they're good contests. Tough contests, but and enthralling quite often.
Do you sense a vulnerability with this group, given the circumstances that have unfolded over the past couple of weeks?
Look, you know, I think that you know, when people ask me about the Australian team, I always say, well, if they're asking me about it, they've got a problem somewhere. So yeah. I'm quite happy to sit back and, you know, at the end of the day, obviously, I'm looking forward to calling the game and enjoying it with the guys on Channel 7. But to be honest with you, I think they're even thinking now it could well be a lot tighter than Ben Stokes is a big factor as well.
Hey, Beefy, we watched, we were brought up on cricket and we watched the television broadcast of it, Richie Beno, Bill Laurie, Tony Gregg here in Australia. Mm-hmm. When you stepped into the commentary box, did you have somebody in mind that you wanted to sort of replicate in terms of the style of your commentary?
Not really. The great John, late great John Arlott once told me a very good piece of advice, and he said, remember, when you're on television, he said, let the picture tell the story and you just fill in the gaps around it. And that's pretty good advice, I think. It's different, obviously, when you're calling radio, because you have to explain the whole scenario. But in television, sometimes you sit back and just let the pictures do the work as well. So, no, not particularly, to your answer, question, to answer it. But I think you can pick up tips from people. And I did it for 23 years with Sky and thoroughly enjoyed those years. Thought I'd had enough, and then I got the offer to come over here, and I thought, well, perhaps I haven't had enough yet. It's the Ashes.
Do you still love the game like you did as a player, or is it completely different now that you're sitting in the commentary box and you're doing other things and you've moved on in your life?
No, not at all. My appetite for the game, particularly the Test games, Test cricket, has not waned one little bit. You know, I'm still right in there, look forward to it. And I think all the players that play this game at international level, you want to make your mark in Test cricket. As Test cricket is very special. It's called Test cricket for a very good reason, because it tests all aspects of the game, mental, physical, etc. And, you know, to be quite honest, the best players play Test cricket.
You're Baron Botham of Ravensworth in the county of North Yorkshire. What does that actually mean?
Well, it means I can sit in the House of Lords and can vote and can actually have an impact. So it's a great honour, one that I was never expected, if I'm honest. But I'm pretty active. And consequently, I do a bit of work for the government over here as well.
You're trade envoy to Australia for Britain. So are you actively involved in that as well while you're here in Australia?
Oh, I've been very much so for the last 3 weeks. Yeah, so it's I find it quite encouraging, actually, and the enthusiasm for this trade agreement is exciting, and I'm enjoying my part. Again, I'm a little bit more versed in the commentary box than I am in the around the committee room, but table. But I am learning. I am learning and learning quickly.
You can take charge of the wine portfolio, given that our exports to China have been pulled back a bit. So can we open up there? My partner here, Tim Watson's got his own vines. He produces a very nice Fiano, so he might want to do some business with you.
Yeah, well, look, I do know a little bit about. So yeah, I'm quite happy to be involved in that. Yeah.
I've got 300 bottles. Do you reckon you'd be able to place those somewhere? I tell you, the other thing I wouldn't mind sending you back to the UK with is a comb for Boris Johnson.
No, you're never going to get that. That'll never work.
Hey, Beefy,
the windswept look.
Who are the Australians that you did battle with that you most enjoy catching up with when you're over here for this extended period of time?
Well, one of the great things about the era we played in, there was the rest day, and players used to spend time together. So I got a lot of ex-Creeping friends. You know, we were all in the same boat. We had great times. Alan Border, you know, Dennis Lilly, one of the greatest of all time in his department. Alan Border, one of the greatest in his department. Then you got the people like Jeff Thompson, Fiery. Then you just go through the those great times. Rod Marsh, fantastic. I enjoy looking back at it, and I enjoy having a cold beer or whatever with one of the guys that we played with, a bit of a laugh and a giggle, and where we ended up, what are we doing now? It's great. It's great. The dressing room's a very special place.
Do you think they're still as special today? I mean, have we moved on from that ability to go and grab a couple of long necks and wander into the change rooms after a hard day's play and share a beer? Have we moved on from that?
Personally, I would rather like to think you haven't, but I'm afraid I think possibly it has drifted that away now. But that was one of the great learning curves for me. When you're a kid and the first time you come over and play Australia in the Ashes, and you go into the dressing room and you've got Greg Chappell talking to Dennis Lilly and we're sat there having a cold beer, that's a pretty incredible school to be invited into or to manage to get into. So those days were very valuable.
Yeah, I could imagine so, and some great war stories would have been told. Just quickly, this current English touring team is... the lack of a world-class spinner going to hurt you in the end, do you think?
Well, don't write off Jack Leach. Do that at your peril. Mm-hmm. He can bowl the lad. Yep. And then, of course, everyone will be petrified of getting out to Joe Root's off-spin. So, you know, there's going to be... they're good enough. You know, the guys are as good as we've got at the moment. There's a shortage worldwide of top-class spinners. But I think that those guys, our boys will do all right over here. Look, enjoy the extra bounce.
And do you catch up with Warney when you're here in Melbourne, do you think?
Yeah, I'll be texting him a bit later on, see what's happening. But I want to find out why he's riding a motorbike.
Yes.
He might be off the golf circuit for a while, given that he reckons he might have broken his foot.
Well, mate, I hope he hasn't, because if you'll be a pain in the backside if you can't play golf.
No, you can get very grumpy. Hey, Lord Botham, it's a great thrill. We are huge admirers. We're looking forward to listening to you on Channel 7 throughout the summer. It'll be absolutely fantastic to get your insights, and let's hope it's a beauty and it goes right down to the fifth test.
Well, I hope so. I hope it's the case, and hopefully maybe we can try one of your bottles of wine when we're around the track somewhere.
We'll make sure. Tim's a great Channel 7 man, so he'll get. We'll make sure we get one to you. We'll get you a great first-hand rating.
We've got to give it a go.
I take the English pound.
One bottle of wine brought them down.
Lord E. Botham joining us this morning. What a great pleasure and a great thrill it is. And you'll be heard on Channel 7 throughout the summer. Yep. It's a bit of a coup for your group.
Oh, yeah, well, you can't get any better than that, can you?
No, I just...
If you wanted to take the pick of all the English commentators you could bring out here and listen to during the Ashes series, he'd be number one.
David Lloyd, I love.
Yeah, no, he's great, but you'd have both of them at number one.
I love the ad he did. He went on the front bar. He said, now, let me get this straight. Yeah. he's sitting there in his thongs and short. Yeah. He says, you want me to go to a bar, sit there, drink beer and talk cricket?
Yeah.
Where do I sign up? He said. No, I didn't actually see that, but was it good?
Yeah, do you know that he actually wrote that himself? Like they said to him, OK, this is what we want to do. We want to film a couple of promos for the upcoming Ashes series. What do you think about this? And he said, nah, this would be better. What about I dress up like this, I put some thongs on, I sit in front of the fire and this is what I'm going to say.
Well, and no one at Channel 7...
He delivered it beautifully.
No one at Channel 7...
Lewis Martin said, that's exactly what I had in mind.
Beefy was here for Chemist Warehouse, the real house of fragrance this Christmas. Excitement in this studio right now is coming through the screen, but mainly because you were here, Dave, but the fact that we're about to give away this most magnificent vehicle, $75,000 plus, Toyota Hilux Rugged X, the Toyota Ambassador Wisp, wanders in only once a year now. She comes in at the very business end and says, I'll give the car away, thanks very much. Daisy Pierce, beautiful to see you.
Good to see you guys.
There you go.
I do feel a little bit guilty. You toil away all year nominating the caller of the
week. That's true.
Yes.
And then I just swan in.
Toyota support.
Overdressed on my Toyota's,
yeah, that's right. Last year came in a tracksuit and didn't realise it was actually going to be live stream. You look beautiful,
I
as you always
do. I thought it was a radio program, but yeah, I've upped the ante this year.
Toyota are great supporters of our program, have been for a number of years, and we're absolutely over the moon. But gee, we can see who the Toyota ambassador is. We're half a Toyota's wandered in today. Come in to chaperone, not a bad looking crew. A couple of rough heads, well, one rough head down there, but they're here. And can we put half of the 43 people up? Look at those people there, Daisy. You can run through any of those. We can't talk to them just yet. We're going to give... Look at Shannon, going nuts up the top. Raylene, I saw... who did I see before? There was Anne. Look, Anne's beside herself. Clapping her hands. Robin over there. Catherine. Craig. See, they're everywhere. So that's a good-looking crew too.
Well, they should be excited, shouldn't they? A Toyota Rugged X walk away with from today. That is major.
You're an ambassador. How long have you been an ambassador?
Oh, going on 5 years now. I'm getting around in a Kluger.
Nice.
Which is a beautiful car, and I do a lot of kilometres, as you know, up and down the highway to Bright.
Have you ever been on the testing track out at Toyota?
No.
Out at North Altona? Oh, it's unbelievable.
Did you have to get the all clear before you were allowed out on the real roads, or what kind of testing track?
I wasn't allowed to drive.
Are you at that stage where you get the licence review?
I couldn't get behind the wheel.
They wouldn't let.
I enjoyed the ride that Gary took us around in.
They did an eye test. They said, "Oh, sorry, you're not driving this Toyota Kluger, Toyota Hilux." Hey, quality, durability, reliability. Three of the great qualities of you as a footballer. And now there's the car you drive.
Well, I can attest for that with the car for sure. Yeah. I've never had an issue with it.
Yep.
And like I said, I would do over 700 kilometres a week.
Wow.
Driving up and back from Bright. Mm. Probably shouldn't say that. They might take the car off me.
Are you regularly serviced?
Yes.
And make sure you get into...
I had to get my car in for a service. A little bit overdue recently, like a lot of people will be. They've been locked away in our garages for months. But as summer hits and you're going to be taking your family out and about, make sure you get it in to be serviced. All the dealerships are back open now too. So
you've hit all your trigger points. look at the Toyota people nodding away. What you can't talk with as much degree of certainty as Tim and I is about the Hilux, unless you've been in one, have you?
I had a Hilux for a little while.
A Rugged X?
Not a Rugged X. I think it was pre-Rugged X days. That's a new addition.
Hilux still the number one selling car in Australia. No? Yep. Yes, it is. But this is going to a next level. This is the one Wisp and I went out.
Can't get your hands on it.
What about when we got inside the cabin?
Unbelievable.
Outside looks unbelievable. When you get inside...
What were the key features in the cabin? What's your favourite?
The aesthetic for me was extraordinary. Yeah. The entertainment system...
The touch button entertainment system.
It felt like I was in the cockpit of an aeroplane. Wow. And the...
All of those people are believing that that's going to be theirs.
I know. Look at them. Richard, give me a... Richard from Narre Warren. How excited would you be, Richard? Oh, he's snorting and dribbling at the nose. Prospect.
I can't look. I'm going to get attached because I'm going to have to only...
I know. Actually, that's one page. Can we flip over to the other page? Because I've seen these people twice now, so... Hey, look.
Is Johnny there?
No. Excuse me, I'm really joking.
Bless you.
Excitement.
Is that
Johnny down... Oh, no, that's Tony down there. You look like Johnny from Epping. Tony, I wish we could talk to all these people. They are excited, and they would be.
And, Daisy, I saw you on the news last night too. With a footy about to start again, AFLW,
yes,
January. a date now?
Yeah, and a fixture, which is a bit of a bonus compared to the last couple of years where you kind of got in the mode of just wait to hear who you're playing on the weekend and be prepared. So very exciting, and 10-round season this year as well.
Yes.
Which is getting closer to feeling like a proper season where you can drop a few and bounce back and work your way through a season.
And you fit, healthy, ready to go?
Have a look at her. It's a rock hard fit.
No, ready to go. I had
footy fit.
finished on a bit of a sour note last year with the knee surgery.
Is the knees all right?
All good, yep.
No, I'm not giving you the wind up. I'm trying to flip the page over so I can see the other half of our great contestants. And Taylor Harris is the big recruit for the Demons. I saw her in the paper the other day. She looks super as well.
Yeah, Taylor Harris and Liv Purcell, who's kind of gone under the radar, but a 20-year-old All-Australian from Geelong that we picked up as well. So it's not very often that you get two quality players like that walk in the door, and they've both been super. Liv's coming back from an ACL herself, so been a bit in rehab, but already you can see the impact she's going to have. And Taylor... yeah, just immediate, her presence in our forward line. We just need her to compete and keep her role pretty simple, and she's doing that. I couldn't be more impressed with how she started with us.
Can you do Tim and I a favour? Because the season opener is against the Bulldogs. We keep hearing of this war that the two clubs are at. So when you run out for that first game, can you run out to that song? What is it again?
I don't know.
Free of Desire. Can you run out and have that playing in the background just to really crank it up?
We'll see what we can do.
And Roy and Sylvia, Tim and her, we're not officially godparents, but we like to see ourselves as godparents.
Yeah, they were nearly Gary and Tim.
They were nearly Gary
and Tim. Just slipped through. That was our second preferences with the naming.
They'd be doing VCE next year?
Getting to it. Yep. No, they're nearly three, so full of energy, full of cheek. Yep. Little personalities coming out and good fun,
Well, they're always going to be exhausting. They're 3 years old, nearly three, yeah.
Yeah, in Feb they'll be three. Yeah.
Are you still tucking them in the Gary and Tim rugs? Yeah.
yes.
Oh, yeah.
Got the lovely present from Nikki.
Yes.
Gary and Tim
sheets. Who's in the Gary rug?
It says they're those personalised sheets, and it says Sylvie's Gary. Hey, don't underestimate
Very happy with that, very happy.
And Tim's Roy, but I do look forward to the day that they're old enough to... They can read their own names, but when they start thinking, who's Gary and who's Tim?
Well, I tell you, we're ready to go. I can't wait any longer. So I want to not put these people out of their misery. Catherine's got her fingers crossed. Look at them. Clarendon Grange. That's surely not your name, is it? Is it Clarendon Grange, or is that where you're from?
No, that's what he's drinking this morning.
He will be if he wins. Phil's there. Paul's up there. He's got his iPhone. Mark, you're not driving, are you, Mark? No, he's number 29. They've all got their SEN numbers, so this is great. I love this. This is why we do the job, Wisp. That and the money. But we're very happy to be here today. So let's get a breakaway. We'll do Nath Brown at Sportsbet, and then when we come back... Daisy's going to do... I don't want to call her a barrel girl, because that would be... I could get into a lot of trouble.
You just did.